Hi everyone, and this is Linda Bunnell, and I am the director of the IHDS, and I'm doing a series of interviews with some of our teachers, just so that you can get to know them a little bit better. And today I have Brian Stout with us, and I thought I'd ask him some questions about who he is, and maybe touch a little bit on the class that he's teaching. He's currently teaching the PTL course at the IHDS. And yeah, so I'm just going to go ahead and jump right in. Brian, welcome. Thank you for coming by to chat with me. And my first question to Brian is, where were you at in your life when you first came to human design, and how did it find you, or how did you find it? So I'll quit talking now.
Thanks, Linda, and thanks for inviting me. This is just a great honor and privilege. So human design came to me through a very dear friend of mine, and she bumped into it. She's a projector, and she's a 3-5 projector, and so she continually bumps into things. And every so often, some of the things that she bumps into, she'll bring them to me. So she brought human design to me. And I gotta be honest with you, initially, I mean, all she brought to me was literally the Rave chart and the mandala. That was it. She says, "Hey, this is human design and this is what your energy looks like." And I went, "Oh, okay, fine, whatever." Thought it was pretty and fine, kind of patted her on the head and said, "Thank you very much for bringing me that." But she kind of stuck with it. And so as she learned more about human design, she brought me different things about my design out of the book on channels. And it was really that which nailed it for me, because there was various things that was being described in those channels that hit so accurately and resonated so clearly that it definitely got my curiosity, and I was off and running at that point. And very, very, very quickly, it became obvious that this was something that I truly was just a natural for. So that's kind of my beginning.
Okay, thank you. And so how did it change your life? And did you go through different stages of transformation during the first 7 years?
I have to confess, and I confess this only because I know that many other people think the same things. But I really did say to myself when I heard that it was a 7-year process, I went, "Well, maybe for other people, but not for me. I've got a lot of work on myself. I've done a lot of work. I'm no schmuck over here, And so I was just convinced that I was going to be able to decondition very quickly. So I would say that the first 3.5 years was shocking to me, to the degree that my not self mental construct was truly running the show. And here's the thing, and even as a teacher, I emphasize this as a teacher, and this is just my viewpoint on life, is it's not like it's a bad thing. It's not like I was a horrible person and, oh my God, I've wasted all this time doing all these other things. And then it wasn't that. It was just like, wow, look at that thing go. So for me, it was a deep revealing. It was a revelation of just how much I thought, and I am using that word intentionally, how I thought this is just the way life was. And one of the things I can mention specifically is I just thought that there was a certain amount of resistance in life, and that's just the way that it goes, right? I mean, there's just, you can't get rid of all of it, can you? And through the process, started realizing just how complacent and just how I've lost my word, typical head and nage now, but just how okay I was with well, there's just a certain amount of frustration, and that's just the way that it is. I think the biggest breakthrough I had that was, I just had to laugh at myself, was actually about it was somewhere in about the 5.5, 6 year mark, I realized that the greatest source of resistance is me. You know, my own monkey mind, my own not self stuff was the thing that was getting in the way. And, you know, for me, we can kind of hear that intellectually. We can sort of get that on an intellectual basis. But boy, once you actually see it and you really experience it in your life, man, that makes all the difference in the world. So for me, really, life is much more relaxed. It just does what it does. And I will also say that it doesn't mean that everything's hunky dory and perfect and I never have breakdowns. And no, I still have my life, but I can recognize it for what it is. And I think more importantly, what it's not.
Yeah, I can so relate to what you're saying. I remember in the early days too, just hearing about the 7 years to decondition. And I thought, oh no, not me. I've done all this work on myself. And I was also convinced that I was a manifester as well. And that you know, things were just not quite right in terms of what they were teaching. But yeah, I soon, you know, learned that I was a generator, even though I'm a manifesting generator, and yeah, there is, it wasn't until I was a few years down the road with it that I could look back and say, yeah, there is really something to this first 7 years. It's really something. So do any of, if you think back or thinking of times when you were maybe taking classes, human design classes, maybe we were in a PTL class together, can you think of any significant aha moments in any of that?
Oh, gosh. The one that just hit me as you asked that question was, I believe I was actually in Kathy's class, but it's all kind of a blur for me now. But we were actually looking at the second, I'm a 2-4 profile. And we were looking at that and what is that hermit energy? And I think for a long time, I hadn't really understood, well, in fact, I didn't even hear that second line is a projecting energy. It projects out and people see it way better than I see myself. And that did not really hit until one day in class, we were talking about that and suddenly I got it. And what I got with that was the vulnerability that came with that and how I'm convinced very, very early on in my life, you know, the not self goes, okay, well, there's something wrong with that. Don't do that. Don't be that vulnerable. That's scary. And really shut that down. And I think in that moment in that class, there was a sort of breaking that allowed me to be vulnerable and to just get that, you know, look, you can't hide it anyway, pal. You're the only one you're fooling is yourself. You're naked in front of the world. And I can remember that hitting me, and I was trying to talk about it, and I actually got really choked up about it, and I had to stop because something very old, something very young came forward that was just I'm getting a little emotional even talking about it now, but there was something very deeply innocent, childlike, that it's just scared out of its riches about that kind of vulnerability. And so for me, that was when I really understood not only the depth of what it means to be a 2-4, but just the depth of whatever our conditioning might be against whoever it is that we truly are. And that it really does take hold when we're very young and we're very tender and it all seems so very serious and life-threatening. So I think in that moment is when I just truly got, look, the not self mental construct, the monkey mind, it's not a trifle. It's serious business and it really does impact us. So that's the first one that came to mind.
Yeah. I think that was fascinating, Brian. Just while you were talking, I was thinking how fun or interesting it would be to do interviews with different people about their profiles and that have been involved with human design for some period of time so they could speak to their actual experience with it. Because I can't really imagine what it would be like to be a 2-4. You know, I only know through interacting with them and what I've learned in this body of knowledge. So I found that fascinating. Thank you for sharing that. We'll have to dig into that more. Well, so my next question is, you're teaching PTL 1, and it's a 1-year process for students. They come into it. In my experience in teaching it, is that, you know, people come into it with a certain idea about what this might be like because they have something to compare it to as far as their previous education. But when they get into it, they realize that it's not really what they thought it was going to be. It really is a very transformational, personal transformational process that they enter into. And you really don't start to see that right away, but as you continue through the program, you begin to see it. I mean, so many students of mine have commented that by the time they're done, that they got so much more value out of it than just learning about how to do readings. It was such a personal, transformational time for them. So I was wondering if you could share with us some of your experiences with your students. You know, like if your students could take away something from your PTL1 class, other than strategy and authority, which is really the most important thing, but what else would you say?
Well, you're absolutely right. First off, that is the first thing that students just have to let go of is this is a kind of education that is unlike really any other education that we're mostly used to. We're used to the teacher says something, we consume that, and then we regurgitate it on a test, and then you get an A+ on how well you can mimic back whatever the teacher said. And this is not that at all. We're just not accustomed to that. So I totally agree that really the student has to come in recognizing, this is a different kind of learning process. And let's also bring into the conversation that Ra was well aware that what's going on during this education process is our deconditioning. And so, you know, that's why it's 3.5 years. You really can't be an analyst until you've been in your experiment for at least 3.5 years. And the reason why that is because you're deconditioning. And so a student is deconditioning while they're going through these classes. And of course, it's going to really hit the spear point during PTL1. Really, you're going to just learn so much about how your not self is just getting in the way of even learning the system. So as far as a takeaway, I hope I'm answering your question, so we'll see. But the biggest takeaway that I would want the students to get is the information is so incredibly important. Yes, it is. The information is incredibly important. The keynotes are not capricious. They're not random. They were specifically chosen by Ra to reflect energetic principles that are going on that we're not even going to get into. So the information is correct or is important, yes. And it's not about the information. It's not about the information. I am convinced that a person could have every single book, every single recording, every single transcript of human design memorized, phrase for phrase, be able to quote it, chapter and verse, and they still would not be able to give a good foundation reading if that's all they've got. It's more than the information. It's being able to see these charts as a dynamic, rich, alive energy that we have the privilege of being able to try to give voice to our clients. And so the thing that I would want my students to take away with them as they continue on into their professional training is exactly that. The information is important, and it's not going to get you there. What's going to get you there, meaning being a true analyst? Here's the thing I say all the time is, look, if it was just about the information, if it was just about stating the keynotes and, okay, well, you've got the channel of this and that means blah, 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 well, you can get computer programs to do that. We've got computer programs that'll do that. But that's not the trick. It requires another dynamic energy to look at that chart and then able to bring it to life through them and then communicate or transfer that to the client in a way that actually activates something. And that's not about information. There's another dynamic going on there. So that's the thing that I would like. And, you know, it's one of those things that's kind of hard to really identify specifically. Like, well, how do you do that? Well, you know, I don't know. But I know it when it happens, and I know when it's not there. So it's more of an apprenticeship type of learning is what we're going through. You go through an apprenticeship, and, yeah. I think I'll stop with that.
No, I think that's a good word, apprenticeship. Yeah, it's a good way to summarize it. You know, I always think of PTL as like the body graph. You know, one side of it we have the logical side, and the other side we have the abstract side. And so we have to take the logical, which is the information, and then we have to take the abstract, which is the art of it, the experience of it, and we have to blend those two together, which then creates a quantum, which is, you know, a really talented, skillful, artful human design reading so that you can bring everything to the table. So that's why we have homework and assignments and practice and practicums and yeah. So I agree, Brian. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Let me see. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye?
Well, recognizing that people that are going to be listening to this recording are very likely considering, you know, going into professional training and all of that. So I just want to speak to that person who could be listening to this recording. And the first thing that I want to acknowledge, and I am assuming that you are responding to the opportunity of being an analyst correctly, that you're following your strategy and authority, and it truly is correct for you to be doing these things. I'm making that assumption. I simply want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for whatever it is that you've done in your life up to this point that has allowed you to be open enough, to be attentive enough to that inner guidance that you found your way to human design, and now you're considering the opportunity of being an analyst. And what I would charge you with, or what I would basically bring to your awareness, is that it's not about the career. It's not about the career path of being an analyst, really. It's much more about the opportunity to provide an awakening for people, an awakening to who they truly are, that you know, because we've all experienced it, they're just out there grappling for. And this is a way. This is a way to help bring that awareness to people. And I assure you that this training is, it works. It'll get the job done. You don't have to worry about that. You just simply have to follow the program and let the program work on you. And if you're somebody who is resonating with this, then thank you for just listening to that, because I know that your not self monkey mind is screaming for the exact opposite. To run away, do something different, don't do this, whatever. So just thank you for putting that to the side and hearing that higher calling. And I would encourage you, again, assuming it's correct, to stick to that no matter what. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, higher calling is a great way to say it. As you were talking, I was thinking, it's such a privilege and an honor to be an analyst and to look at people's charts, because you're looking in so deeply into who they are. It's like them standing there more than naked in front of you as you look into their chart. You know their life. You know everything about them. You know way more than they know, because you can see both the conscious and the unconscious. It reminds me of a time when I did a reading for this lovely man, and I was just doing my reading, this is quite some years ago. And at the end, he just looked at me and he goes, "I didn't realize this was going to be so personal." I mean, it really hit him. It's amazing work if you can get it. And those of us that do it are really, really lucky. I count my blessings every day. Yeah, okay. Brian has something else he'd like to say. Go ahead.
Well, obviously my chart will be available in the descriptions of the class and all that. So I believe I very much resonate with how Ra would do somebody's chart, which he would just initiate them. And obviously I'm a manifesting generator, but when you look at the rest of my chart, there's just all sorts of stuff where I really am going to sort of shock people into who they are. And there's so many times I'll be doing a reading and I'll get into the not self. And, my speaking is very spontaneous, and I'll say things and I don't even know where it's coming from. It's just coming up, and then I'll stop. And I've learned in my practice now to, once I do that, particularly the first time, to stop, because they're over there just going, "Oh my God, how did you know all that?" And, I really do have to sort of let them recognize that, yeah, I really do see you. And we really are going to have a conversation on that level of intimacy. And to me, you bring up another point. and I hope this isn't too flowery. I hope people understand what I'm saying, but I am a huge advocate of part of an analyst's job is to fall in love with these charts. Just fall in love with them. Not like you're going to go date this for every single client you have, but you just look at these energies and you go, oh my God, what a gift they are to the process. What a wonderful way to put things together. Look at that thing. It's amazing. Like, just be amazed by these charts. That's what I mean by fall in love with them. Because when I fall in love with the chart, then all the not self stuff, it's okay. It's okay. Because look at this thing over here. This thing is amazing over here. And then you got this not self thing. All right, well, you can settle for that if you want to. But look at this wonderful thing over here. So for me, there's this huge privilege to helping people fall in love with themselves and really actually know what it is that they're falling in love with.
Excellent point. Well, you know, Brian, I could sit here and chat with you about this all day. it brings up so many things that I'd like to say, but I probably should sign off now. Otherwise, people are going to, you know, it's going to just get too long. But thank you so much for coming and sharing some of your day with me. I've known you a long time now, and I've been so impressed with just everything about you. We were in classes together, and I've watched you over the years, and you're doing such a great job with the PTL1 group, and you do amazing readings. If anybody out there listening to this wants to get a reading, Brian's a good one to contact. And you've just embodied the knowledge so beautifully. And I see the naturalness of your 2-4, you know, that beautiful 2 where the gifts and talents are so innate. I see the naturalness of all of that coming forward. And it's a wonderful thing to see. So anyway, we're lucky to have you in our community, Brian. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just want to thank everybody out there that's listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And send an email if you feel inclined. And bye-bye for now. Feel free to say goodbye, Brian.
Goodbye, everybody. Hope to see you.